Today's share of the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Tzad Yivav. We continue to learn for the success and safety of all Chayilei Tzal, all the Kochas HaBitachon, all of Klai Yisrael should be safe, the Chatufim should be brought back immediately in good health, and Be'ezus Hashem, there should be Shalom for all of Klai Yisrael. We pick up the Gemara on Tzad Yivav Omer Aleph, about 11 lines down from the top at the two dots. We have a statement from Rava. Omer Rava. Rava tells us, Gazal, if a person, Nebuch is a ganav, and he stole something, v'hishubiach, and he improved the item that he stole, and then umachar, and then he sold it. Or alternatively, v'gazal, he stole something, v'hishubiach, he improved it, and then he died, and his children inherited from him. V'horish. So now it's gone from the ganav to either the person that the ganav sold it to, or to the person that yarshan the ganav, the children of the ganav. So Rava tells us, Masha Hishbiach Mochar, that improvement that he had, in fact, is successfully transferred over to the person that purchased the item from him, or to his children who inherited him after he died. Masha Hishbiach Mochar, Masha Hishbiach Horish. So this goes, Rashi tells us, in accord with what we learned previously in the Dira Maskul Masha Hishbiach Mochar. This is from yesterday's shir, where it says, V'shokil lokeach mechtsa o shlish o revia, that we had said that the ganav is, so to say, in a partnership with the original owner if there is an improvement, and he's like a person who's being assigned to watch somebody's animal, and they'll share in the profits when he watches the animal, so as the animal then is worth more, so the shepherd who is a partner now with the original owner will share in the profits. So to the ganav, so to say, is treated as if he's a partner now in the shevach that he causes. In any event, Rava tells us that this is in accord with that din of Rabbi Shimon. The post can say that it also would go in accord with the opinion of Yehuda that we learned yesterday, but let's leave it right now. Rashi says this is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that in fact, the ganav's shevach, the improvement, does get transferred over to the person that he sold it to, or to his children who inherit him if he passes away. Based upon this, Rava now asks, "Boy, Rava, hishbiach lokeach mahu? What happens if the ganav sold it when it still hadn't yet been improved? So therefore, he has an obligation. The heishiv sagzela shogazal. He has to return the item extant, and the item is still extant, but the person that he sold it to, the ganav sold it to someone, and that person improved it. Hishbiach lokeach. So what is the halacha mahu? Do we say that no, it goes back to the original owner? Or do we say no, that this shevach that the new purchaser, the one who purchased it from the ganav, improved it, so he is just like the ganav. We treat him the same way as the ganav, and just like the ganav would be entitled, according to the opinion of Shimon, to be either a 50% partner, or 33 and a third percent partner, or a 25% partner, so he would be entitled to be a partner. So too, this person who purchased it from the ganav, does he get that right as well? So that's Rava's question, and he himself answered the question. Boss of the Baya, after he himself asked this question, Rava figured out the answer himself. Hadar Pashta, he himself said that just like Ma Mocha Rishon Lasheni, in a regular situation where a person sells something, if Reuven sends something to Shimon, so when he sells the item to Shimon, he sells it with all of the rights that he had. So therefore, Kol Zuchus Shetavo Liyodo, when he's selling the item, a regular case of Reuven selling something to Shimon, so he sold Shimon all the rights that Reuven had. So to over here, the ganav, when he sold this item that he stole to the third person, so then that third person acquires all the power that the ganav had, which would include, according to the understanding of Rabbi Shimon, that any shevach that was produced, the ganav would be a partner, so to say, with the original owner. So too, this new purchaser over here from the ganav would be entitled to be a partner with the original owner for the improvement. Okay. Boy, Rav asks another question. What happens if he sold it to a guy? Hishbiach ovei kochavim. He sold it now to a guy, and the guy goes and improves the item. Do we say the same thing, that the guy also has the status, like Rav just said, if he had sold it to a yid, that the yid would basically have purchased all the rights that the ganav had, and the ganav would have the right to be a partner, according to Rabbi Shimon, for a half or a third or a quarter share in the shevach. So too, does this Ovi Kochavim have that right as well? So the Gemara says, what? Is that really the question? Amalei Rav Acha Medifti L'Ravina. Rav Acha, who comes from a place called Difti, said to Ravina, really? Did Rava really ask this question? Takanta liovi kochavim neku v'navot? The whole purpose of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda And in general, Chazal is saying that we allow the ganav to keep something if there was a change in it is because of takonas morish, because of the takonas hashavim. We want to facilitate the yid to do tshuva. And if you make it too difficult for him, he may not do tshuva. So therefore, we say that he gets to keep the profit that he did, either fully like Rabbi Yehuda said, or in a partnership arrangement like Rabbi Shimon had said. And therefore, this will facilitate him to do tshuva. That's for a yid. Would we make such a takana for a guy? So Amalei, so Ravina says back to Rav Acha Midifti, he says, no, that's not what was being said over here. That's not Rav's question. Rav was really asking, Lo Tzricha, Rav was asking his question, Kagon Dizabne Li Yisrael. A guy had stolen it, and then the guy sold it to the yid. So the question is, does this yid now have the normal status of a Jewish ganav who would have gotten this right according to Rabbi Shimon? So do we say, what difference does it make if it was a guy who stole it or a yid who stole it? Once it goes to the possession of the third party, this yid that purchased it, so he should also have the rights that Rabbi Shimon had given to a goslin. So that's how Ravina wanted to touch up Rava's question. But the bottom line, of course, is it's still solved. The only way that this third party got this was because the guy stole it and gave it to him or sold it to him. So why would you think he should be any different than the Ovi Kochav? So therefore, that can't be Rava's question. So Gemara says, yeah, this is Rava's question. Lo Tzricha, we only need Rava's question in the following scenario. Kegon deGozal Yisrael, a yid stole it originally. So therefore, we do have this Takanas Morish, the Takanas Hashavim, that we want to facilitate him to do tshuva. But what happened? The yid then sold it to a guy. He sold it to a guy, and on the guy's possession, he improved it. And now, the guy then sells it to another yid. So, it was improved by the guy, but the guy isn't the one that we're having the question is. That's not Robert's question. Robert's question is, now a yid has the improved item. This second yid, after the ganav. So, you have the first yid, who the ganav sold it to, then the yid sold it to a guy, the guy then sold it to a second yid. So, my, what's the law here? Do we say, me, Amrinon, keep him to me, Kari Yisrael, Had Yisrael, number one and number three. Number one is the ganav, who then sold it before he did any improvements to the guy, who then did the improvements and then sold it to the second yid, number three. So therefore, in this situation, since number one and number three are yidden, so do we say, kivin meikar Yisrael v'hada Yisrael, so of the rabbana takanta, so the rabbis did make the takonis morish, the takonis hashavim over here. Or no, do we say on the other hand, or dilma, kivin diiko of the kochavim v'yemza, once there's a guy in the middle, so law of the lay rabbana takanta, the rabbis said, no, that's it, the end of the idea of doing tshuva over here is gone because there's a guy now involved, and therefore he doesn't get this takona of morish. And therefore, the Gemara says, take it. We don't have a response to Rava's question. We leave it unanswered. Amar Papa, Rav Papa now says, Hayman de Gozal diklo mechavre vikatle. If somebody stole a tree from his friend, he stole a palm tree. How did he do this? He chopped it down, and his field was right next to the field where it was cut from. And therefore, even though he cut it down from the person who he stole it from, his field, and when the tree landed, it landed in the ganav's field. So even though the tree went from one rishus to another rishus, it went from the rishus of the original owner to the rishus of this ganav who cut it down, nevertheless, Papa tells us, lo kani, this ganav doesn't acquire it. Why not? My timer. How come he doesn't acquire it? So the Gemara says, meikara dikla mikre, because when it was in the possession of the original owner, it was called the palm tree. And now, even though it was cut down and has gone into the possession of the ganav, it's still called the palm tree. So there was no shinui in the shame. And according to this, the shinui in the shame is critical. And if it didn't change the name, so then it remains the same item, and therefore it belongs still to the possession of the original owner and not the ganav. That's what Rav Papa teaches us. Furthermore, Rav Papa says, Diklo, if it was originally a palm tree, and then V'ovid Gube Lokani, if he took this palm tree and then he chopped it up into logs, he chopped it up into what are called Gube. Rashi tells us that Gube is a foreign language word called Trinkish, which in the Lazi Rashi, he tells us that this perish Chatichos, so he chopped it up into logs. So the bottom line is, it's still called palm tree logs. As the Gemara says, Hashta, Miyaz Gube de Dikla Mikre, it is still called Gube de Dikle. So therefore, This is not considered a significant change. And as the Gemara said, if it was Dikla, Be'ovid, Gubi, Lo Kani, because Hashtami is Gubi, the Dikla Mikri, it's still called palm tree, albeit now it's called logs as opposed to a full palm tree. However, if he then took the gube, the avdinu kishure, if he turned these logs into kishure are beams, so now he's changed its form and changed its name, so now he has acquired it, kane, because kishure are different than gube. It's a different name, and therefore he has acquired it. However, if he took the kishure that are ravrave, he took big beams, the kshuri of these beams, and he chopped them in half. Bavdinu kishure zutre, and he made them into two smaller beams. Lokani, that's not considered an acquisition because it hasn't changed its name. It was called beams, and now it's still called beams. Okay, before it was large beams, and now it's called small beams, but it's still called beams. However, if he took these beams and made them into something else, avdinu kitsusiyasa, kitsusiyasa, Rashi tells us, is crushim. Crushim are the boards that were used, for example, in the Mishkan to be the house of the Mishkan with the tapestries that were on top of it as the ceiling. So here you're changing it from something called a beam into something called a keresh or a board. So then, avdinu kitsusi yosef, you made it into these boards, so then kani, that's a different name, and you are kona. Rapapa is inconsistent that if you change the name, it's acquired by the ganav. If you don't change the name, or be it you made some physical change in it, making it large to small, so then that's not considered a kinyan for the ganav. Amar Rava, Rava tells us, likewise, Haiman de Gaza Luliva. If somebody stole the lulav, now it's not talking about in Sukkos right now, he just stole the lulav. So, Vavdinu Hutse, and he chopped up the lulav into the leaves. As Rashi says, Sheniskan Allah Allah Minashedra. He took off the fronds of the lulav tree and he made them into loose fronds to each individual leaf. So then that is considered a kinyan, kane, because before it was a lulav and now it's called leaves, and therefore that is a kinyan. Dimeikara luliva mikre, originally it was called a lulav, Bashtahutse, and now it's called leaves. So therefore that is a valid kinyan. Again, based upon what Rapapa said, the shame is critical, the name is critical. However, if he took hutze, he took these leaves, beavdinu chufya, and he made them into a broom, that's also considered a kana. Chufya, Rashi tells us, is something called ashkuba, which again, in the Lazi Rashi, this ashkuba is pirus mitateya, which means a broom. As Rashi elsewhere tells us, mechabed shemechabdin bo esabayis. This is something that is used to clean the house. It's a broom. So, you change it from being leaves into a broom, that's also a valid kinyan. Because Meikaru Hutze, originally it was called leaves, Vahashta Chufya, and now it's called the broom. But Chufya, if you took a broom, Vahavde Sharshura, and you turned it into a chaval, Rashi says Sharshura is a chaval, a rope, so then that's not considered a different name and not considered something different. Why not? Lo kani, you're not kona in this situation. My timer, how come? The hadar sosale, because if you unwind these pieces of the rope, so then the hadar sosale vahav yichufi, and it once again turns into being a broom. So therefore, this is a change, it's not a permanent change, and therefore, that's why it's not considered acquired by the ganav. Now, boy, Rapapa asks, what about if you take the lulav and nechlecha hatiyomes mahu? If you have the middle leaf, which is a double leaf of the lulav, so the person who stole the lulav hasn't changed anything, except now nechlecha hatiyomes, he split the middle leaf of the lulav. That would make the lulav no longer a kosher lulav, by the way. Mahu, what is the halacha? So the Gemara says, let's figure it out. Toshma, the Amar, Rav Mosson, Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Rav Mosson said the name of Yishuv ben Levi, Nitla HaTiyomes, if you have a kosher lulav and you remove the tiyomes, so then, pasul, it's not considered a kosher lulav anymore. And we turn to Tzadivah Amud Beis. My lav isn't because hu adin lenechlecha. Wouldn't this be the same din whether you remove the middle leaf or you split the middle leaf, and therefore both of them are not a kosher lulav, and therefore both of them would be considered a change, making it from a kosher lulav to something that's not a kosher lulav. Someone says, not necessarily so. Lo. Nit lo shiny. Because when you remove the middle leaf, it's different than splitting the middle leaf. Because the ha-chaser law, because now it's missing, it's not an entire lulav. And since it's missing something, that's why it's no good. But you can't bring me a raya, what would be the halacha if it was split? That's the version that we first had. Iga the Amrei, the second version goes as follows. Toshma, the Amrei Rabbi Mosun, Amrei Shimon Levi, Rabbi Mosun, Amrei Shimon Levi, Nechlecha HaTiyomis, if you split that middle leaf of the lulav, it's as if, Nasek Kimi, as if Shinit Lo'u Pasul, as if you removed it and it's Pasul. In other words, Shema Mina, that is considered a valid halachic change, and therefore a Ganav would acquire it in this situation. Amar Papa, Papa says another statement, Hayman de Gozel Afro Mechavre, if a person steals dirt from his friend, the Abdul Levinta, and he turns that dirt into a brick, Lokani, that's not considered a valid acquisition. How come? My time, and why not? After all, dirt and brick aren't the same name, aren't the same thing, so why isn't it a valid acquisition by the Ganav? Because the Hadar Mashve Leafra, because if you go and crumble this brick, it's going to turn back again into dirt. So therefore, like we just said a moment ago, this is not an irreversible change. And if you make a change which can be reversed, so then it's not considered a significant shinui. However, if you took levinta, if you took a brick, the abde afra, and then you crumble it up and turn it into dirt, that is a valid acquisition. Kani, how come? Because in this situation, what are you going to say? He'll go take that dirt and return it back into making it a brick again? So therefore, it's not considered an irreversible change? My amris, do mahadar v'yavid le'levinta, he'll go and take the dirt and push it together and make it into a brick? This brick is not the same brick as before. Hay levinta achritehi uponim chadoshos bolakan. This new brick is not the same as the original brick that was broken up into dirt. And therefore, we view it as punim chadoshos. It's a borrowed expression that we have by a chasana and the Sheva Brachos. So you make Sheva Brachos all week for the young couple, if there are panim chadashos, people that weren't at the wedding, so these panim chadashos, they're new here, and therefore it's kedai to make the brachos or the sheva brachos. So do we borrow this term and say, this brick over here is a brand new brick. It's not the same brick that was there before, and therefore, hay levinta achritihi, it's considered a different brick, and therefore, this is a valid change. When you break the brick and turn it into dirt, that's considered irreversible. Ah, you can make another brick, but that's considered a different brick, and therefore it's an irreversible change from the first brick. Similarly, if Yomar HaPapa, HaPapa tells us, Hayman de Gozel Naska, if a person stole a bar of silver, Mechavri, from his friend, the Ovid Zuze, and he took the bar and he made silver coins out of it. So that's also not considered a valid acquisition, Lo Kani. He hasn't acquired it. The Ganav hasn't acquired it. How come? Why not? After all, it was a bar of silver, and now it's individual coins. So why is that not considered an acquisition? My Taima, because Hadar Ovid Lu Naska, because you know what? You can take those silver and melt it down and make it into a bar of silver again. So you take the silver coins and make it back into a bar of silver. And therefore, that's not considered a valid change. But the other way around, if you stole coins, Zuzi, Rahman Islam, somebody stole coins, and you made it into a bar of silver, you melted them down and made it into a bar of silver, Vabdinu Naska, that is considered a valid change. Kani, how come? What's the difference? My Amos, what are you going to say? Hadar Adilu Zuzi is going to take the bar of silver and then turn it back into coins. So again, the same teretz that we gave a moment ago. These new coins, Panam Chadash is Bolakan. They're not the same coins as before. And therefore, that is considered something that is different. Now, why in the case where he stole the silver, a bar of silver, turned it into coins, and then remelted it and turned it into silver, we don't say Panam Chadashos. We say it's the same bar of silver, even though it's not the same bar of silver. How come? So the Mefarshim explained, coins are different. Coins are unique and individual, and therefore each coin is different than the original coin that it was. But a bar of silver, there's no rules to a bar of silver. A bar of silver is a bar of silver, so it doesn't make a difference if it's not exactly the same as it was before. Okay, that's why we say in one case, Panam Chadash is Balakan, and the other case, we don't. Finally, the last case from Rapapa, Shechime. What are Shechime? Shechime, Rashi tells us, are coins that are blackened, Shechorin, Kain Yishanim. They're older coins. They're not as good coins. So these older coins called Shechime, the Avdinu Chariti, and you make them like new, you polish them, and you make them like new, Lokani. That's not considered an adequate change. Why not? So Rashi says, because Shesofon Lachzer Liyoshtim, because right now they're new, but they're going to tarnish again. They're going to get black again in a little bit of time. So therefore, that's not considered a significant irreversible change. However, if they were chariti, if they were brand new, the avdinu shchime, and they became tarnished, they became blackened, that is considered a valid change. Kani. Why? My amis, what are you going to say over here? Hoder ovid luhu chariti. You're going to go and make them into new coins and make them shiny again? Now you'd expect the Gemara now to tell us, the reason is because Panim Chadash was Balakan, and these new beautifully polished coins are different than the original polished coins. But that's actually the girsa that the Rush has, but that's not the girsa that we have. We have may the idea sheicham yuhu, that we would say over here that there is going to be still a bit of the tarnish on them, even if you try to make them like new. Hadar avilu chadati, you're going to try to make it nice and shiny again. Once something's tarnished, it will never go back to being perfectly brand new, and there'll still be a little bit of the tarnish left on it, and therefore, in that situation, you have made a real change in that there's tarnish on it, as opposed to originally, they were brand new without any tarnish on them. Okay, now we go to the last part of the Mishnah, where it says zah klal, and it gives us a rule, zah klal. It never means that it's a rule, it means it's coming to teach us an additional case, so the Gemara is going to ask, what's the additional case? So the zah klal, kol ha-gazlonim mishalmim kishasak zela. The seeming general rule that the Mishnah is telling us is that whenever a gazlan steals something, you pay the value at the time of the theft. So Gemara says, Zah klal liasu yemai. What is this coming to include when it says Zah klal? Albeit the Besorah Sashas brings out from the Mishal that you can delete the words Zah klal, or just say, Kol hagazlonim, that lasu yemai. What does this come to teach us? It must be coming to include a specific case, as the Mishnayis don't give general rules. So the Gemara says, Lasu yehodam Rabbi Ilo. This is coming to teach us a din that Rabbi Ilo taught us. What is that? If a person steals, Rahman al-Islam, Gonav Tle, he steals a baby sheep, the Nas Ayal, and it grows up now into a ram. Or he steals, Rahman al-Islam, an Egel, a baby calf, the Nas Ashar, and now it grows up into being a full-grown Shar. So Nas Shinu Biyado, so this is considered a valid Shinu in the hands of the Ganav. It aged, it went from a sheep into a ram, or from a baby cow, a calf, into an ox. And nasa shinu biyado ukino, and this is in fact considered a significant acquisition. And the nafkamin of this, Rabbi Loi tells us, is tavach umacher, if the ganav now steals this, so it no longer belongs to the original owner, so he's not doing the shchita or the mechira on the original animal. It's had a shinui in it, and therefore kefil will still be required to pay because he stole it. But dalid vehei, tvicho mechira, he won't be obligated to pay. Why not? Because shalohu tovech, he's actually now shechting his own animal. Or shalohu mocher, he's actually selling his own animal. It no longer belongs to the original owner, and therefore, kefil will have to pay, but dalabah he won't have to pay. So this is a statement from Rabbi Loi, and we're going to have this in a few moments again, so just remember, when I talk about it then, this is the statement of Rabbi Loi. The Gemara now says, Maisa Shoya, how Gavra, the once was a man, the Gozal Padono de Tore Mechavre, who stole a pair of oxen from his friend. It's interesting, the word Padono, Rashi tells us, Padonim is Targum, the Aramaic word, Shal Semed Boker, for a pair of oxen. And he brings down, very interesting, Rashi says, Upadan Aram, why is the city Padan Aram called Padan Aram? Al-Shem Sheshnei Aromim. Padan means two Arams. What are the two Arams? Hayu, that they were there, Aram Narayim and Aram Tzova. So that's why it's called the double Aram, Padan Aram. Very, very interesting source for those words. In any event, this guy stole this pair of oxen from his friend. And what did he use the oxen for? Ozal Karabhu Karva. He went and plowed with them. And then subsequently, he plowed a second time with planting in Zarabhu Zara. So he did two acts with these oxen that he stole. He plowed and then he planted. Nu Lesov Adrinu Lamari. Eventually, he gave back the oxen to the owner, the one that he stole it from. Now, also the Kamei the Rav Nachman, they came before Rav Nachman to adjudicate this case, and Amalu Rav Nachman said to the Ganav, Zilu Shumu Shivcha, the Ashbach, go and calculate how much benefit he got from using these oxen in his field that he plowed with and then he seeded with, and go and pay that to the person that you stole the oxen from. Now, this is very puzzling. Why did he say this? Amalu Rav says to Rav Nachman, how come? Ture Ashbach, Arlo Ashbach? You're telling me that it was the oxen alone that it improved the field over here? The field had nothing to do with it? Why does this Ganav pay 100% of the improvement? After all, the field itself contributed to the improvement, so you should only have to pay 50% for the ox, and the other 50% came from the field intrinsically itself. So that's what Rav first asked Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman responds to him and says, yeah, exactly, Omar. He says to Rav, Mi kamina nishaimu kule, did I mean that he should have to pay 100%? No, I never meant that. Palgo kamina, exactly like you're saying. Since his oxen contributed to improving the field, but not 100%. So whatever percentage, let's say it's 50%. So palga, 50% he has to go pay. That his benefit from having the ox, that's what he benefited, so he has to pay that to the person that he stole from. But Rav is still very unhappy. Amalei, he says, bottom line is, sof, gizelahu. He stole the oxen for kohodra beina, and then he returned them. So why does he have to pay anything? He didn't damage the oxen. The oxen were still in the same exact value and shape that they were in when he stole them. And therefore, we learned in our Mishnah that none, kol hagazlon misham kishas gzela. When you steal something, you pay for it at the value that it was at the time of the theft. And that's exactly what he did over here. The Heshes HaGzela Shem Gozel, and it was worth the same amount. So why should he have to go and pay any additional money for, quote, using the oxen? So Nachman tells Rav, Omale, Lo Amin Aloch, haven't I told you in the past? Ki Yosiv No Abedino, when I'm judging a case, Lo Teim Olimidi, don't go and interrupt me. Don't go and ask me questions. Now's not the time, because after all, the Omer Hunan Chavrin Aloi, after all, our friend, the great Rav Huna, said about me, Ano, meaning Rav Nachman, the Shmuel Malcha. Shmuel Malcha is the name that we give to Shmuel. Shmuel is a Baki in Dini Mamonos. We always pass like Shmuel in Dini Mamonos, even against Rav. We pass like Rav by Yisurim, and we pass like Shmuel by Dini Mamonos. And Rashi elsewhere tells us that Shmuel was known as Shmuel Malcha, Lefi Shalocha Kimoso Bedinim. And he was called this because he was like a king. Like the king of Shur Malko was the Melech of Pras, so he was like the king of Dinei Mamonos. So Rav Huna said that not only is Shmuel such a great person, but Rav Nachman is equally as great as Shmuel when it comes to these things. And therefore, Rav Nachman is telling Rava, listen, don't interrupt me when I'm adjudicating a case, because high in ish, you don't even know all the facts. This guy over here, Gazlona Atikahu, he's a well-known career Ganav. He's a veteran Ganav. He's Atikahu. He's been constantly doing this. And therefore, I got to send him a message. Uba'ina de Iknese. And therefore, I'm going to give him a knas over here. You're right. Min hadin, he shouldn't have to pay for the usage of the oxen because he didn't deteriorate the oxen. They're still worth the same thing. And min hadin, the Torah says that he just has to return. Ve'heshev sazel, shagazel. And he's going to exempt himself from any additional payments. But I'm going along as a great judge. I have the right, halachically, to insert an additional knas over here, which is what I'm doing by saying that he has to pay for the benefit that he got from using the oxen. So don't interrupt me and don't bother me when I'm adjudicating a case, because I have the right to do things that are lamala min hadin, so to say, above the normal din. I have the right to do what are called extrajudicial punishments in this situation. Okay, let's go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, and this is Chazara from yesterday's shir, Gozal Behema Viskina, if a person, Rachmon Lislan, stole an animal and the animal aged, meaning it deteriorated. Or Avadim, he stole a slave, Viskinu, and the slave got older. In other words, he deteriorated. So what's the halacha? The Tanakhama says, Mishalim Kishas Agzela. The Girsa that we have is this is the Tanakhama, and he pays the amount of the value of the Behema or the Eved at the time of the Gzela. He can't just return the Behema later on, or the Eved later on, at the lower deteriorated price. However, Rav Meir disagrees. Rav Meir Omer, in regard to the behema, I agree with you. You pay for what the animal was worth at the time that you stole it. But in regards to the Eved, Avadim, which are considered, Rashi reminds us, like we learned yesterday, the Eved, according to Rav Meir, in this first version of Rav Meir, is that he holds that the Eved is like the Karkoi. It has the status of Karka. So Omelo, Hareshul Cholofanecha, just like you can't steal Karka, you can't steal the Eved, and therefore it never left the possession of the original owner, and therefore he's returning him. Ve'ishiv Sagzela, Shagazal, so he's returning the same Eved. Next case in the Mishnah, Gozal Matbeya V'Nistak. If a person stole a coin, and then the coin cracked. In Rashi, in Dira Maskul, Gozal Matbeya V'Nistak says this is Shinui Hanikaru, this is a recognizable change. In other words, you damaged that coin. Or if you stole peros and hivirikivu and they spoiled, they got all rotten. Or you stole wine, the hichmetz, and the wine turned into vinegar. So all of these were significant changes detrimental to the item that you stole. So in these cases, mishalim kishas gzela. You can't just return a veishas gzela, sher gozal, because the item deteriorated. The coin is now broken, the fruits are rotten, and the wine is now vinegar. So you can't just give him back the original item and say, fine, I'm done. So you have to pay Mishalim Kishas Gzela. However, in all of the following cases, we say that the item has not physically changed, even though there are halachic changes with the item, and therefore he could go and return it. What are these examples? Matbeya v'nifsal. He stole a coin, and then that coin no longer is eligible to be used. It's no longer a good coin. It doesn't have the status of being legal tender. The Gemara will explain this in tomorrow's shiur. Why not? Or if you stole truma, and then the nitmes, and then it became tameh. So truma that is tar is able to be eaten. Truma that's tameh, at most you can burn it and get benefit from it, but it's obviously not going to be able to be eaten. Now, it looks exactly the same, so there's no physical change to it, albeit there's a halachic change to it. Similarly, chametz, if you stole chametz, and then arvel of a Pesach, and the chametz is also bana, but there's no physical difference between this loaf of bread a day before Pesach and a day after Pesach, assuming that you froze it, so it hasn't changed its value, it hasn't deteriorated as a piece of bread, but before Pesach it's worth a loaf of bread. After Pesach it's not shav anything because it's also bana. So in this situation, there's no physical change, there's a halachic change. And likewise, if you stole the behema, rachmana litzlan, in this abda ba'aveira, and then you did an aveira with it. You, for example, rachmana litzlan committed bestiality with it, or rachmana litzlan, you worshipped it as a vodazara. So again, the animal is exactly the same, but halachically, it's now chayv nisa. It's not allowed to be living. Or alternatively, oshenifsla, now gabi mizbeach. Or you did something to it to make it possible to be used on the mizbeach. You made a mum in it. Or Oshahaisa Yotza Lisakya, or that it actually killed a person, and now it's a shor haniskal and it's going to be worth nothing, but it's the same exact shor. In all of these situations, well, certainly not a nice thing to do, and to be Yotze, on a Dine Shemayim point of view, you'd have to pay for it, but in a Dine Adam, Omer lo, the ganav has the right to say, hey, you want your animal that I stole back? Here it is. Harei shalcha lefanecha. I'm giving it back to you. In all of these situations, the behema is actually being returned. And therefore, you are fulfilling behesheh sagzela asher gozal, as opposed to in the first case that we brought down, you weren't returning the coin was broken. You're not returning the fruit are rotten. You're not returning the wine, it's now vinegar. Whereas in all of these situations, just one example, the truma, well, you're giving him back the same truma, albeit it's now tame, but it's physically no different than it was beforehand. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa says, what the Mishnah said, hiskina, it didn't mean lo hiskina, hiskina mamish. It doesn't mean that it actually got old. It could be even a day or two later. It means el afilu kochasha. It got weakened. Whatever happened to it, it got sick, it got weakened some way. So that is the same exact thing as hiskina. So where it says, no, kachasha kigon hiskina. It meant that it got weak, just like as if it had gotten older. So it's the same thing. In other words, the lo hoder barya. You can't reverse aging, and you can't reverse this type of weakness that it got. And therefore, that's why it's the same thing in the Mishnah, whether it was aging or it got weak. Markishisha was the son of Rechista, said to Ravashi, Hochi Kamre Mishmeid Rav Yochanan. This is what I heard in the name of Rav Yochanan. Notice he says the name of Rav Yochanan. In a moment, we'll say this was something that we learned a few minutes ago when I said that this is what Rabbi Law said. In any event, Markishisha, Breid Rechista, says this vort over in the name of Rav Yochanan. Afilu gonav tlev nasa'il. If you stole a sheep and it turned in your possession into a ram, in other words, it got older. Or egal, you stole a baby cow, a calf, v'nasa shart, and then it grew up into being a shart in your possession. So this is considered a valid shinui, nasa shinu biyodo, and ukino, and you acquired it. And what's the nafkamina? Tavuchu mocher, shalohu tover, shalohu mocher. Now, you'd be chayv only kefel for having stolen it, but now if you went and shechted it, or you went and sold it, so you wouldn't be chayv dalad v'hei, because it's now your own thing that you're shechting, your own thing that you're selling, and therefore, you wouldn't be chayv dalad v'hei. There was a valid shinui here. Now, this is what Markishisha, Breid Rechista, said over to Ravashi. Ravashi is upset with him because he didn't quote it exactly. He quoted it in the name of Rav Yochanan, and he should have said the name of Rabbi Loi. So Amalei Ravashi says to Markishisha, didn't I warn you, didn't I tell you, lo tachlif gavri, be very careful when you attribute something to someone that you attribute it correctly. This wasn't Rav Yochanan who said this, how mishmed Rabbi Loi itma. This was said over, as we just learned right before the Mishnah, in the name of Rabbi Loi. Now, why was he so medactic to say it over correctly? So, number one, in case you'd come up with a contradiction to it from someplace else, that Rav Yochanan had said something different someplace else, that there would be a steer in Rav Yochanan, where it really was Rav Eloi, so therefore it's not a problem. One is Rav Eloi, one is Rav Yochanan. But even more so, we have a general rule. Omer Dovah B'Shem Omro may be Gula Liola. If a person goes and says something over the name of the person who said the Vart, so that brings the Gula to the world. That brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu great happiness that people are being honest and being giving credit to the person who said the memory, as opposed to saying, oh, I thought of this on my own. So therefore, a person should always say over Dovah B'Shem Omro. And therefore, he told him, be very careful to say it over correctly. And this way, we have to make sure that our Mesorah is transmitted perfectly and that we don't make mistakes. Now we quote the Mishnah. We say, Rav Meir Omer Ba'avadim, I agree with you in regards to the Behema. You, the Tanakhama, said that you have to pay Kishas HaGneva. So yeah, I agree with you in regards to the Behema. Even though it got older, you can't just give it back. You have to pay him the value at the time of the Gneva. But in regards to the Avadim, which are like Karka, Omelah HaReish HaCholof HaNecha, since you can't steal it, I'm giving it back to you, even though it's older and deteriorated, even though the slave is not worth what it was originally. Amar Rav Chanina Bar Avdimi, Amar Rav, Rav Chanina Bar Avdimi says the name of Rav, the Halacha is like Rav Meir, that we in fact say over here that in regards to the Eved, you can return it. Not a problem, you return the Eved, you don't have to pay to the value of the Eved at the time of the Gezela. Now this is somewhat shocking. And the Gemara says, V'Rav Shavik Rabbanan, Rav leaves the majority opinion of the Rabbanan, and he passes like the Yochid, V'Ovik Rameya, like the individual. That's normally not the way we do things. Shmuel says, you're right, Amrei, Mishum the Braisa Ivcha Tanya, because the Braisa had the attributions switched. And the Braisa has what we call the Tanakama as Rav Meir. And what we call Rav Meir, that was actually in the Braisa, the Chachamim. And therefore, Rav is passing like the Chachamim. So Gemara says, Rav Shavik Masdis, Bavik Braisa, there was a choice. You could have followed the gears of our Mishnah, or you followed the gears of the Braisa. Why did you think the Braisa is more authentic than the Mishnah? In general, we follow a Mishnah over Braisa. That's why they're Braisas, they're outside, they weren't as authentic. So Gemara says, Rav Masnis Nami Ifchotani. So Rav switched around the Mishnah to be in accord with the Braisa. So Gemara says, why did he switch the Mishnah to be like the Braisa? He should have switched the Braisa to be like the Mishnah. Well, my time with the Rav, the Avich Masnis and Mikami the Braisa. Why did he say the Braisa is more correct? Let's switch the Mishnah to be in accord with the Braisa. Adrabba, exactly the opposite. You should have said, Nefich the Braisa, switch around the Braisa to be in accord with the Mishnah. Mikami Masnis. So Gemara's give two terutzim. Number one, Amre, Rav, Nami, Masnisim, Ifcha Asnaya. Rav didn't switch it around. Rav had learned the Mishnah exactly the same way the Braisa was. Our Girsa of the Mishnah is wrong. Rav had the right Girsa, which was in accord with the Braisa. Rav didn't switch anything around. Rav had that as a different Girsa. And therefore, Rav is saying the Braisa and the Mishnah are exactly the same. And the Girsa that was the Braisa is actually the Girsa that Rav had for the Mishnah. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, the Ibai Seima, you could argue, kilo apich, that when he says, you don't flip around a Mishnah to be in accord with the Braisa, you flip around the Braisa to be in accord with the Mishnah, that's when it's one against one. Chada mikami chada. So if you have a Braisa that says one thing, it's less authentic than the Mishnah that says the other thing. So if you have to pick one of the two to follow, pick the Mishnah and change the Braisa to conform with the Mishnah. But here, Chodo Mikame Tarte Apich, there were two Braises and only one Mishnah. So therefore, both Braises are against one Mishnah, so then flip around the Mishnah to be in accord with the two Braises, rather than to flip around two Braises to be in accord with one Mishnah. No, where's the other Braisa? The Tanya, because we learned another Braisa. If a person is exchanging, Hamachlev Parah B'Chavar, Reuven is exchanging his para with the chamor of Shimon. So the first guy gives a para, and the second guy exchanges it with a chamor. No. Meanwhile, the para is pregnant, the yolda, and it gave birth. We don't know when it gave birth. Was it before he gave it over to Shimon, or after he gave it over to Shimon? So that would depend, therefore, on who the calf belongs to. If it was born before the exchange, so then the calf stays in Reuven's possession. If it was after the exchange, then the calf goes over to Shimon. Or alternatively, same thing would be if it was a Shivcha Kinanis, and you sold her. So when did she give birth? Did she give birth before the sale? So then you keep the baby, and the Shivcha goes to the other person. But if it was after the sale, so then the other person gets the Shivcha and the baby. So what's the answer? So Gemara says, it depends on the case. The Braisa says, Zeh Omer Birshusi Olda. The owner, the original owner says, no, she gave birth while she was in my possession, before I sold her to you. And the other one, the one who purchased the slave or the cow, said, I don't know. So therefore, since Vahalo Shosek, one is a Bari, the other one is an I don't know. So therefore, Zochaba, the one who's certain, the one who's a Bari, so they say, I'm certain that the birth occurred before I sold either the woman or the Parah to you. So therefore, he gets to keep the baby cow or the baby child. What happens if the other way around? Zeh Omer Ein Yodea. The one who sold it said, I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. Zeh Omer Ein Yodea. And the other one says, I wasn't there either. So then they split it. Yachloku. This is Momen Amutu Basafik. Yachloku. So they split it. What happens if Zeh Omer Birshusi? Zeh Omer Birshusi. They're both positive. They both say, absolutely. The seller says, no, the baby was born first. Either the cow or the baby person was born first. And the other one says, no, absolutely. I got the pregnant cow, I got the pregnant woman, and then once I had them, they gave birth. So each one is bari. So what do you do in this situation? So the Gemara says, Yishava Hamocher, the one who sold the mother of the cow, says, Shebirishu so yada, he has to swear that the baby was born while it still was in his possession. Lefi shekol hanishbayin, shebitorah, nishbayin, vilam shalman. Diviru Meir. This is basically, he's admitting to half, and not admitting to half. He's admitting that I sold you the cow, or that I sold you the slave woman, but he's not admitting to the other half, the baby part, the baby calf or the baby child. And he says, no, that one I didn't sell you because that was already born. So therefore, he's like a modeh b'miktsas, Rashi says, and a modeh b'miktsas is chay v'shvua. And once you're swearing, the feast you're calling nishbayin shebetorah, so nishbayin v'lo mishalmin. So they swear and they don't have to pay. And that's the opinion of the mayor. And therefore, this you clearly see is the opinion of Rav Meir in this brisa. Now Rashi says it's a little bit more complicated than what I just explained in terms of the rationale, but let's just leave it at that for now. Whereas it's the Chachamim that say that we don't make a shvua on Avodim because Avodim are like Karka. So what do you clearly see from this second brisa? The Rav Meir says that you do make a shvua on avodim, and the Chachamim say you don't make a shvua on avodim. So Rav Meir holds that avodim are not considered makarki, and the Chachamim hold that the avodim are considered like karka. They are kimikakai. And therefore, we have two brises that say this version and one mishnah. So therefore, Rav switched around the mishnah to be in accord with the two brises. So Gemara says, "Hi, halachic Rav Meir." So then, why do we say over here that halachic is like Rav Meir? He should have said that halachic Rabbanim Ibayle. If Rav switched it around and he's passing like the Rabbim, he should have said that halachic is like the Rabbim. Why do you say halachic is like Rav Meir? So Gemara says, "No, halachic kama." This is what Rav is saying. Lemay diavchisu visanisu. According to you that have the Mishnah the way we have it written in our Gemara, the Rav Meir says what the Chachamim says according to Rav. And the Chachamim said what Rav Meir said according to Rav. So therefore, he was saying, according to you guys, the halach is like Rav Meir. Because your opinion of Rav Meir is really what my opinion of the Chachamim is. So therefore, I'm saying that the halach is like the opinion that you're quoting in Rav Meir, which I'm saying is really the opinion of the Chachamim. Now, we're still in the little bit of the middle of the sugya, but this is a perfect point to stop at the end of the daf, and with this, we'll conclude today's share.